8 p.m. This is Radio Ghana.
Good evening and welcome to Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. My name is Abraham Asari. In tonight's edition, NPP flag bearer Nana Akufo-Addo tells President Mills to stop passing the buck on the single spine problems. Mathematics is an age-old headache for many students. WAEC results for this year's WASI shows that nothing has changed. And 42 new districts created by government, how were the demarcations done? Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. You can get us on all our regional FM stations across the country and at gbcghana.com. Our text line for tonight is 026-441-8767. The text line again is 026-441-8767. NPP flag bearer Nana Akufo-Addo seems to suggest that the government is passing the buck on the problems bedeviling the medical front, specifically the strike by the doctors. Akufo-Addo used his news conference today to tell President Mills to fix it if it's broken, in apparent response to President Mills' statement that his government inherited the supposedly troublesome single spine salary structure from the previous NPP administration. Well, Stan Dogbe is a presidential aide and is on the line now to respond. Good evening to you, Stan. Welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening, Abraham, and how are you doing?
Well, fine. Another thing, President Mills is still blaming the NPP after 3 years at the helm of affairs. Is that the case?
Well, you do know very well that that clearly is not the case. I am surprised that the presidential candidate of a political party, you know, would hold a press conference and seek to just focus his address or whatever it is that he wants to say on peripherals. What policy alternatives or what suggestions did he have? Nanado and his advisors clearly do not even know what the concerns of the Ghana Medical Association is. If they do know, they would have come forward with solutions to it. His Excellency the President, in commenting on this matter, following his Minister of Health intervention and going to the hospitals and trying to find out the exact situation, appealed to the doctors to go back to work whilst whatever concerns they have in their discussions with the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission are addressed. Now, you ought to also appreciate that the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission is an independent body set up, you know, to engage in matters relating to conditions of service with the various agencies, and the responsibility of the single spine migration also falls within their domain. The negotiations that they have with these partners are not working on behalf of government. But as the Minister for Health has explained, the Ministry of Health is the management, so they are left to engage in the negotiations. Now, we are told that the basis upon which the Ghana Medical Association has embarked on this strike action is unlawful, and that is why the Labour Commission has even asked them to go back to work. But the President says that, listen, we understand you have certain concerns, but it is important for you to resolve this matter without going on strike. And that is a fact that we all need to appreciate. Do doctors have to go on strike before? That was the President's focus and message to the doctors in appealing to them.
But he made reference to the fact that, I'm sorry, but the President made reference to the fact that the NPP did not leave any money for the single spine, and so the doctors should go back to work.
Did you hear the President make that categorical statement that the doctors must go back to work?
The issues that were reported on what the President said in the media.
Was that the report that Radio Ghana carried yesterday from Sesehia, who was following the President?
Where are you going to carry that? But
It is important as your colleague journalist to make it, to state emphatically that when you are reporting what somebody says, it is important to put what the person says in context. I know that this whole report about the President saying that the New Patriotic Party did not leave money, and for that matter, the doctors should go back, was a report that was carried by Joy FM. Now, Joy FM's basis for linking the President's appeal to the doctors to go back to work and the fact that he says because there is no money, the NPP did not leave any money, the doctors should go back, I do not want to say it is mischievous. But what is important is that the president spoke about the doctors going back, appealed to them to go back because people would suffer unjustifiably, people would lose their lives unjustifiably. Then when he had to speak about the challenges that the single spine has brought on the economy, and how government is working to ensure that the various public sector workers are migrated onto the scheme, then he said that indeed this thing was announced, and we all know that that announcement was made on the 6th of January when the previous administration was leaving. So there were no plans for its implementation. When we came in, we had to meet with the Trade Union Congress and other labor groups for them to understand that we need to be fair, you know, the implementation, because the economy could not sustain it. And that process has been ongoing. So the president's reference to the new Patriotic Party at that debate was within a certain context. Why any news medium would deliberately say that the president says the doctors must go back because MPP do not leave any money, it's for your listeners to judge. But I think that we cannot belittle the intelligence and the political astuteness of His Excellency the President, that he would make such a claim that because MPP did not leave any money, the doctor should go back. It doesn't really make sense to even a class three people who will be listening to us.
But
the New Patriotic Party, okay, presidential candidate, to then use that as basis, even when he does not even know what the real concerns of the Ghana Medical Association are, that is the question.
But is there anything wrong, basically, you know, with Nanado, a leader of a political party, saying or asking the government to fix the problem with the doctors? I think that anybody at all could say that.
There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. And we welcome the fact that he recognizes that the responsibility of fixing whatever problem that has to be fixed rests, you know, with those who are so enjoined to do so. The Ghana Medical Association has challenges with the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. They do not have challenges with government. The matter under discussion is the issue of their grading and the market premium. As we do understand from the Fair Wages Commission, it is a matter that they have been discussing. Now, the nurses, the Ghana Registered Nurses Association, and other health workers also have concerns. Major of it was that the doctors have decided that they are not going to sit with other health workers on the negotiation table because they thought that they were better off than those people. The nurses of us were unhappy. But the Fair Wages Commission bent backwards, met the doctors separately, met the nurses, the pharmacists, etc. separately. There are concerns that everybody else has, including the nurses, for instance, that why should the Ghana Medical Association, which is a grouping of both private sector and public sector doctors, be negotiating on behalf of public sector. But those are matters that will be resolved. The Fair Wages Commission, as we have understood, met them in Dodoa just weeks ago to look at the issues. They met, they left, and then the GMA has declared, you know, a strike action because some of them say, I mean, many issues that we do not think that are matters that should be even discussed in the public domain. But they are not matters for us as governments to be talking about. They are matters that the Ghana Medical Association and the Fair Wages Commission have to sit and resolve. Their going on strike is not going to resolve the matter, because it will not lead the Fair Wages Commission to say that, okay, the doctors say they want this amount. The doctors say that even when a principal nursing officer who has been working for 20 years has 2 degrees, you know, and is earning a certain amount, and a doctor that has come out of school 2 years after is earning close to that amount that a nursing director is earning, they do not like it. Those are matters that they cannot necessarily force the Salaries and Wages Commission to take a decision on. They need to sit at the table, look at the market premium that has been brought, look at the grading, and then resolve the matters. If you go on strike and say that, well, we are on strike, would that bring the Fair Wages Commission to just accept your request? No. So, yes, government knows what it has to do. His Excellency the President recognizes that himself. That is why he appealed to the doctors to go back to work and save the lives of people who may die because of this attitude of theirs that we must go on strike in order to demand what we sometimes unduly do not deserve. But we have also, as government, encouraged the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission to bend backwards and listen to the doctors. Call the them back to the table, even though it is they who left the table, and have an understanding of what it is that we want to do. So the opposition leader has every right to call on government. So I'm just saying that the basis of the opposition leader's call clearly is misplaced.
Okay, I'll be grateful if you could hold on a bit, Stan, as we seek further explanation from Nanado's camp. We have an aide to Nanado, Bujinapo, who is in the line. Abu, good evening. Welcome to Radio Ghana. Was Donado's press conference trying to say that the government is not handling the issue of the doctors in the single spine properly?
Good evening, sir, and good evening to our cherished listeners. First of all, I recall that the Labour Commission has come out with a directive that both the Ghana members of the Ghana Medical Association and government appointees should refrain from making inflammatory remarks on the media, which will exacerbate the situation that we find ourselves in. I find it completely baffling that just a few hours after that, we are having all kinds of statements, which obviously is intended to pick up public sentiments against the doctors of our country. What Nana Akufo-Addo said are in three parts. Firstly, he called on the government to act with dispatch, and he drew the analogy of how the Minister of Health, Honorable Yiretre, sacked a reputable medical doctor in our country in the person of Professor Komnafrim Pobwatin with immediate effect, and called on the president to instruct his Minister of Health and the authorities that be to engage the doctors immediately. And indeed, we are talking about immediately, because the ramifications of this strike is dire, is serious, and is unbearable for the ordinary citizens of this country.
But why would he call the president when there is a Labour Commission handling the case?
Well, the back stops to the president. The president is the chief executive of this country. And so the president should be interested in all matters, and should be interested in matters particularly such as this one, which affects the basic necessities of our people, health care. And you know, when we talk about this thing, the rhetoric creates the impression that people do not appreciate the gravity of the situation that we find ourselves in. As we speak now, mothers, children, ordinary citizens of our country are turned away from our public health institutions. Mothers, pregnant mothers, are dying because they cannot access health care in our country. People are dying preventable deaths. That is the seriousness of the matter. So for a matter like this, the president should be concerned. You recall that the Ghana Medical Association has stated that they petitioned the president himself. They did not get any response. In March, the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission promised the doctors of our country that they were going to migrate them by somewhere in September. In August, certain promises were made. And so the whole implementation of the single spine, which was thought through, which was given birth to, which was conceptualized by the New Patriotic Party, and the implementation was supposed to have taken off somewhere in February 2009. After its long delay, the implementation by all intents and purposes has been messy. The implementation has been done in...
So it was supposed to have taken place from February of 2009. What preparations were done? How far had the MPP government gone with the implementation before it left office?
The structure, the concept, and the objectives of the single spine had been put in place. Indeed, the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission was put together by the MPP. Officials or appointees of the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission had been done under the MPP. It was only left with the implementation. And like I said, the implementation was going to be done in February 2009. And the statement attributed to His Excellency the President said that no monies were left behind for his government to implement the single spine, like the New Patriotic Party presidential candidate ably put it. It's most unfortunate, because governments do not leave money down for successive governments to come and implement projects. Government budgets for projects. And indeed, the president has been in office for 3 years, almost 3 years. He's almost ending his term of office. It will be unpardonable, and it will be unforgivable for the president to turn around 3 years down the line to say that a previous regime did not leave money behind, and that is why we are in the woods that we find ourselves in. The second point that the presidential candidate made was to appeal to our doctors. and said that indeed doctors by their workings are some of the most responsible people in our society. And in spite of how justified their actions are today, he's appealing to them on humanitarian grounds to return to hospital and take care of the ordinary citizens of our country, because at the end of the day, it is the ordinary citizens of our country who bear the brunt of their actions. The final point that he made is the fact that the kind of chaos, the kind of unrest that we are witnessing on the labor front now is a kind of anarchy that is unprecedented. We are told that somewhere on Monday, graduate teachers have threatened that they are going to embark on a strike action. We are told that public service pharmacies are threatening a strike action come the end of this October. We are told that nurses are also agitated. The chaos on the labor front is untenable.
And you agree with me that all these are happening because of single spine, and what others are saying is that, well, yes, the plan was there for implementation, but then at the time that you were leaving, or the MPP was leaving office, there were no concrete plans on the ground, and that's why Labour had to engage the government in negotiations for so long before they had to, you know, implement the roadmap that was put in place.
Well, I find this kind of position, okay, and I find this kind of reasoning, you know, synonymous to a government that, if you want, is lazy. Because why? The single spine policy was thought through, the planning had been done, all the benchmarks had been set, the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission had been put in place. What was required was simply implementation.
Okay.
And indeed, the MPP, if I could conclude on this point, indeed, the MPP administration left an economy that secured oil in commercial quantities. We started exploiting and exploring all of these avenues and all of the revenues that are accruing out of the oil industry. There's no excuse whatsoever for a government that has been in office for 3 years to turn around and point accusing fingers at a previous regime that it did not leave money. Governments do not leave money for successive governments to implement projects. Successive governments will have to think outside the box to generate the requisite resources to develop the country.
Okay.
I think in conclusion, that this strike action, the blame has to be put at the doorstep of the kind of incompetence that has characterized the implementation of this single spine, which rather is a very noble and well thought through program put together by the New Patriotic Party administration.
Okay, Stan, so what all that was left was just implementation, and it is taking you 3 years to do that, and even that we are having, you know, disturbances on the labor front. That's what I gather from Abu's submission.
Well, Abraham, it's unfortunate for me to say this, but managing a situation, running the country or running your business is not just about opening your mouth and speaking English. Quite clearly, I mean, the young man does not even understand what he's talking about. If he says that a commission has been put in place, or a parliament has passed a law for the establishment of a fair wages commission, and then a policy to set up a single spine scheme has also been put in place, and all that is left is implementation. What goes into the implementation, Abraham? Are you not going to pay the people with money? How long has it taken for the grading structure to also be worked on? Clearly, the young man does not even understand what he's talking about. The fact that you know that a company produces biscuits does not mean that you know what goes into the process of producing a biscuit. So if this is the aid to the presidential candidate of the MPP, it tells you the understanding that they have of serious economic matters of this nature. Call up the Secretary General of the Trade Union Congress. Call up the President of the Ghana Medical Association. Call up the leaders of various unions, the Civil Service Association, etc. And ask them that the original documentation that was left for the single spine implementation, the grading system, etc. Why did they kick against the original grading system, such that a new process of job evaluation had to be done? Before the process of negotiations began again, because all those things were poorly done. That is the only reason why the unions had confidence in this administration and agreed to push forward the implementation of the single spine process. So he doesn't even understand what he's talking about. Now, when the New Patriotic Party, through their aide, as you describe him, say that when you ask him why is he asking the president, he says that, well, even though the Labour Commission is there, the president can instruct. Please, I know that under President Kufuor, many arbitrary decisions were taken. As foreign minister, Nana Akufo-Addo took many arbitrary decisions, including deciding that even a former president can go without his privileges being given to him, etc. But this president knows when to go out there instructing the Fair Wages Commission or instructing the National Labour Commission to do what they have to do. The Labour Commission has appropriately called the doctors to come back to the table, has asked the Fair Wages Commission to also come, because that is where the Fair Wages Commission also goes to when it needs some level of arbitration for the matters to be resolved. So if those things are being done, and the president says, doctors, go back, and the New Patriotic Party presidential candidate, Abraham, from the man's own pronouncement and what his aide is saying, that the doctor's strike is justifiable, and we are told that this is a very, very seasoned lawyer, he ought to go and read the National Labour Act in order to determine what it says about those who are engaged in essential services and their resort to strike actions. And in the matter of discussions relating to negotiations for migration onto the single spine, whether the strike action by the doctors are justified or not. We are talking about a lawyer. I am not a lawyer. I can only read the document and understand it as a layman. You know, but this is a lawyer who spoke and says that the doctor's strike is justifiable. When the Labour Commission says that your strike is not justifiable because you have gone contrary to the Labour Act, so come back and let's do this. So it is not a matter of political rhetoric. It is not a matter of putting people together and say, go on the radio and say that the administration is weak, the administration is not doing this and that. I encourage my friends in the New Patriotic Party to always read. And people say it is arrogance. It is not. I encourage them always to read. Because if Binapos comes and says that, oh, single spine, everything has been cooked, it was just left with implementation, he does not even understand and appreciate what is supposed to go into the implementation of single spine. So when we say there's going to be migration in September, go and find out, Abraham, and I am encouraging you to let your journalists go. They should speak to the General Register Nurses Association, speak to the Health Workers Workers Union, speak to the Government Pharmacists Association about why the migration of health workers has delayed. It has delayed because of the intransigence of the Ghana Medical Association on this matter about not wanting to negotiate together with them. But this has been done, and health workers will be migrated in October this year.
Okay.
Can anybody be migrated in the middle of the month? Let me also take the opportunity to encourage our brothers in Nagas that their concerns are at attention of government. We know where the challenge was. The controller was unable to process that the payment of the retention allowance last month in September. Controller had indicated that they were going to, you know, do that payment by October 19th, as per a directive from the Ministry of Finance. They were going to do that payment by October 19th. NAGRAT had initially given the Ministry of Education October 15th.
Okay.
But we have spoken to them. We do hope that by October 19th, that payment will be done. And the NAGRAT situation and the GMA situation ought to be looked at differently. And opposition members must learn to understand the issues before jumping to go and hold press conference.
Thank you so much, Stan. Thank you very much, and have a good night. Stan Dogbe is a presidential aide. I must say. Now, briefly, Abu, do you not think that Nanadu is unnecessarily, if my term is right, politicizing the issue? Because this is an issue that is being handled by the Labour Commission and the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. Did he have to wade into this?
There is nothing political about this. First of all, when you have old men like Stan Dogbe, you know, as aides to the president, this is the kind of mess that you have. You have a situation where doctors are on strike, you know, and we call it to the president to come and tell us the way forward, and all they do is in empty rhetorics, and all they do is chastise everybody anywhere. All they do is to assume to themselves the know-it-all arrogant posture, you know, and run their mouths and run almost over every other person.
I'll just be grateful, Abu, if you could, hello, just address the question I asked you. I don't think it's fair to be, you understand, going the way you're going. So just address the question.
I mean, he talks about me being a young man and me not understanding the issues and being an aide to the presidential candidate of the MPP. And I'm saying that an old man like him, Standogbe, an aide to the president, if he talks like this, we will continue to have our grandmothers in you not being able to access health care. It is not a political issue. It is an issue that is affecting the Ghanaian people. In Kolebu, as we speak now, there are no doctors. Kolebu has become a ghost town, and people have been referred from the hinterlands to Kolebu. People are dying, preventable death. That is not politics. That is about forward marching.
Thank you.
It's about how to move our country forward. The question and the issue raised by Nana Akufo-Addo is a legitimate, concrete issue. President Mills, show leadership.
Thank you very much, Abu, for talking to us tonight. Abu Jinapo is an aide to MPP presidential candidate Nana Akufo-Addo. You're listening to Behind the News, and it's live on Radio Ghana in Accra. GBCGhana.com is our web address. Stay tuned. Did you go through the traditional elementary school, the Form 4 system, Standard 4? It was. Now, do you still remember the hot mathematics exercise that you went through sometimes in the morning? It was commonly called mental. But gone are the days when students and pupils who were scared of mathematics were forced to learn the subject. Now, that is not the case. But that is not to say students who went through the traditional system of education were better students in mathematics than the products of the educational reforms. But just like in the era of the traditional system, students continue to shy away from mathematics. The West African Examinations Council says about 23% of the total number of candidates who wrote this year's West Africa Senior School Certificate Examination, WASI, failed. Less than 50% of the candidates got credit and very good grades in maths. So what could be the reasons for students' continued fear of mathematics? Is it a matter of poor teaching methodology? Well, Behind the News tonight digests these issues. And we first start with the Director of Basic Education and Acting Deputy Director General of the GES, Stephen Edu. Mr. Edu, welcome to Radio Ghana again tonight.
Thank you very much.
I'm sure it has come to your notice, the kind of results that we are chalking up in mathematics at the basic and, of course, senior high level.
Yes, I'm very much aware, yeah.
So this 23%, do you know what, in absolute terms, it could mean, represent?
Yes, it means that all is not well as far as mathematics education is concerned in this country. We are very much aware of the challenges that we are facing with mathematics.
Is it a new trend, or that's how it's been?
Nah, you could see that even this year is even better than last year. Because this year, we are talking about 70%. Last year, it was less, which means that there has been an improvement in the performance of these students in mathematics. So that is encouraging, except that the performance is still not what we expect. We are expecting that if you look at the English language, you could see that they've gone very, very far. So we are expecting that in mathematics too, they will do well in that respect.
Why are our students not doing well in mathematics?
You know, mathematics teaching and learning has been, like you introduced the topic when you said that in the past, it looks like many people have shied away from the subject. Meaning that people think that mathematics is very, very difficult. But you see, mathematics is a subject that you need to really to concentrate. Mathematics is more practical than just a reading subject or whatever. But unfortunately, we have problem with both the teaching methodology as well as the people who also learn because of the fear that they attach to mathematics. So there are even some people who try away not even to do mathematics. So I think the problem is coming from both the students and then from the teacher.
The teacher is to blame, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, what I'm saying is that the teacher factor has so many factors that we need to look at. Now, the teacher also need to have all the resources to make the teaching and learning of mathematics very interesting. I believe strongly that, you see, the approach to teaching mathematics is not just like the approach of teaching the other subjects. People need to really practice what they do. And the teaching of mathematics should also be based on concepts rather than just topics. So once the concept is understood, then the students can really apply it in all other situations.
Can we trace the problem?
Don't do that.
I'm sorry, Mr. Dubai. Can we traced the problem to the training colleges where the teachers are produced and are trained to handle these subjects.
Yes, the college is also a factor, because just even yesterday, you were even looking at what happens in the college. But you know, from the senior high school, most of the teachers are coming from the university. And if you look at the university education, it's, people have been complaining about the fact that the university education is more theoretical, and which means that the students who come to the senior high schools should have even the urge to teach the subject. So we have problems with the practical teaching of the subject. So it looks like most students do not really grasp the understanding of the concepts in mathematics. And so in an attempt, they try to just be working as far as the topics are concerned. And that is really creating a lot of problems as far as the understanding of mathematics is concerned. So I can, maybe I will agree with you that the problems start from the basic school up to the university level. So if the foundation at the basic school is not well grounded, then it even affects what they do in the senior high school as well as what they do at the university. So it's something that we need to look at it from the basic school up to the university level.
Mr. Edu, I'll come back to you. Just I want us to listen to the experience of a student who has also just finished SHS. Gabriel Obodai Ashong, he has completed one of the senior high schools in Accra. Gabriel, good evening. Welcome to Behind the News. So what grade did you get in mathematics?
I had D7 in mathematics.
That means you failed?
Well, you can say that, and but not because I wasn't really brilliant in school. I performed well in the other subjects.
Okay, I'll come back to you, Gabriel. I just want some clarification from Mr. Du. Mr. Du, so this D7 is failure, isn't it?
D7 is not a fail. It's a pass. It's among the pass grades.
Would then universities accept this for admission into level 100?
No, previously they were accepting, but this year they are not accepting D7.
So D7 is considered failure?
You see, if you, it's just that he doesn't qualify for the university, but it's not a failure as far as white grading system is concerned.
But that is less than credit, isn't it?
Yes, it's less than credit.
And I think the university requires that you get credit.
Yes, it's not credit. It's not just an ordinary pass.
So that means that those who will not qualify for the universities, you know, based on mathematics, could be more than 23%.
Yes, from that, if you look at the results that were indicated, then you have maybe more percentages not qualifying for the university. That's one I'll agree.
I'll come back to you, Mr. Edu, just hold on. So, Gabriel, you say you were brilliant in school, yet you had D7. Why?
Well, I think the teacher's approach to the teaching of mathematics wasn't the best. Because in Ghana, when you go to the private schools, most of the teachers there who, you know, take the students through mathematics, are SHS graduates, very young, and therefore they don't have the experience to really teach to the understanding of the students. And when you come to the public schools, well, in my situation it was worse, because right from the onset we had national service personnel who did different courses taking us through mathematics, and they weren't really able to teach our understanding. That is one aspect of the reasons why we don't perform in the subject. And I wasn't the only one, but in my school, many of my colleagues also failed in the same subject. So I managed to even had the highest mark in mathematics with my D7.
With your D7, you were the highest in your school?
Yes, in my class.
Wow.
And dimension to this is that, you know, mathematics teachers are seen to be very strict in class. So they often train students with the least mistake they do. And because the impression has been created that mathematics is difficult, some students don't really feel comfortable when teachers are caning them and the related stuff. And it becomes worse on the part of the ladies, because men or the young guys are seen to, you know, be performing well in mathematics. So when the girls are placing first and then are doing well, they are often disregarded. And, well, it is good to know that this year's World Teachers Day is actually looking at the role of teachers in ensuring gender equality. And I personally think that it will help. We shouldn't also forget to look at the role of parents in, you know, helping students pass in their mathematics.
Gabby, what did you get in other subjects? Did you do very well in English, in science, in, you know?
I had B2 in English, A in CRS, A in economics, and also B2 in science.
But mathematics, D7.
D7, yes.
And you have to resit. I'm sure you're going to do that.
Well, I'm now in the tertiary.
You're in the university?
Yes, I'm a student of Ghana Institute of Journalism now.
Oh, okay. All right, Gabby, thank you very much for talking to us tonight, and have a good night. Gabriel Obuda Ashong is a student of GAIJ, says now. Ms. Adu, gathering from what Gabriel was saying, well, he mentions the fact that there are few teachers. Those who even teach in the SHS have no background, or some of them, I must say, have no background in mathematics, and even the approach in teaching the subject is another, you know, area of concern.
Yes, that is exactly what I said from the beginning. You see, starting from the basic school up to the university level, so you realize that we have very few people who are pursuing mathematics programs in the university.
But is this a concern for the GES? Are you working on this?
It's a concern. That is why if you look at our study, if you pay, we give more priority to mathematics and the sciences so that we can encourage more of the mathematics and science teachers to go for further studies.
Do we have a plan?
We don't even have them. You don't get them.
You don't get the mathematics teachers?
People who are more interested to go and then do mathematics at a higher level. That is one problem that we have.
Because it's even more difficult as to go up.
That is what people think. But to me personally, you see, I see mathematics as something that when you get it wrong, you realize that you have got it wrong. When you get it right, you realize that you've got it. You see, but sometimes, you see, I agree with the guy that, you see, sometimes the approach to teaching, you see, because people need to understand the concept in mathematics so that they'll be able to carry it out or apply it in many other instances. But unfortunately, the concept is not well grasped by the students. That is why when it comes to where they will have to apply, because if you look at the mathematics questions and then you do proper analysis, you realize that when it comes to the mechanical mathematics, most students are able to go through. But where they will have to read, understand, and then conceptualize, that is where the problem is. So it means then that the concepts in mathematics have not been well grasped by the students. And that is very, very unfortunate.
Okay, Mr. Adu, I'd like you to hold on still. I would greatly, if you could, want to speak to the president of the Ghana Mathematics Society, Professor Sachofe Anku, who is on the line now. Good evening to you, Prof. Anku. Welcome to Radio Ghana.
How are you?
Fine. So, Prof, mathematics, is it a difficult subject?
No. Mathematics is not a difficult subject.
It's not difficult?
It's a very, very easy subject.
Do we have people who are born mathematicians or they are made mathematicians?
I wouldn't think people are born mathematicians because everybody can do mathematics. That's my philosophy, my view.
Why is it that many are failing then?
Pardon?
Why is it that many are failing if everybody can do it?
Yeah, but they are failing because if they don't understand the concepts and they are not taught very well, and the mathematics classroom is like a very fearful place where if you make a little mistake, either you are keen or something, and you find that the teachers themselves don't understand that, most teachers, not all, don't understand the concepts of mathematics. And the classroom atmosphere, how do you create an atmosphere to let students, even if they make mistakes, they don't feel, you know, afraid. They can use the mistake, turn that around, to make it positive for them to understand mathematics. But that's not happening. And there is the relevance of mathematics to real life. Are we showing that to students the practicality of mathematics? Are we encouraging the classroom? Do the teachers know that themselves? That, you know, if you are teaching, say, something like, indices, where do you find it in real life? Did you just take the theoretical indices? Or you can find it something that is...
But is it possible to practicalize indices, for instance?
Very, 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 very easy.
Can I attempt to do that in 2 seconds?
No. I mean, if you talk about indices is just a form of logarithm. And logarithms refer to... You use logarithm on the earthquake measurement, right?
Yes.
When you have sound measurements, when you put your Walkman in your ear, when you increase the volume, you increase it in logarithmic scale, and that logarithmic scale is in form of indices. Do students know that?
But even what you're saying sounds abstract.
It's not abstract.
Because they're increasing your volume, right?
Yes.
You're getting the volume increase, okay?
Yes.
And there is a scale by which it is happening. And you must, so that when you study the abstract, you must see when you increase the volume, know what's happening and its effect.
And that's the index.
How does it do for you, right?
Okay, so how did it come by creating a myth around mathematics, if it's as easy as you're saying?
I don't know, because as far as I'm concerned, that myth is a fantasy. It does not exist, but we make it look so, because we do not particularize the mathematics.
So,
if you have come to my academy, Megata Mathematics Academy, where we held a camp, we have holding camps every year, I think your guest, Mr. Du, was at my camp. You see, students use hands-on, you know, to create mathematics, and they enjoy it. You see, and that can be done. So it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal at all. But indeed, we need to train the teachers to be able to do this themselves. So what's happening in the training college of education? How are they training them? You see?
Okay, Mr.
All of these things on their own.
Prof. Anku, we'll talk about that. We'll be talking about the concept that we come up with, and I'm sure that Mr. Edu may want to comment on that. But you also went through the same system where there was, you know, that myth was there. How were you able to come out as a professor in mathematics? How were you able to overcome that kind of fear that was created in the classroom anytime it was time for mathematics?
If I can remember as far back, you know, I enjoyed mathematics one. Two, I had the privilege of trying to teach my colleagues what I understood. And I realized that the more I taught, the better I understood. So that gave me the confidence to continue to teach. And somehow, I just loved it. You know, that's it. So, but if you don't practice, and if you don't understand the concepts, you see, you just give up very easily. Sometimes, yes, attitude of student counts. You see, but the attitude is developed because in the first place, on the basic level, they are made to fear the mathematics. So they develop some kind of height around themselves so that when they say mathematics, they see the mathematics teacher, they say the same mathematics, they don't want to. But in a different atmosphere, the same student can become very good. So it has got to do with the classroom atmosphere. Right?
Mm-hmm.
How the teacher handles the students in the classroom. When the students, because I've got instances where students who have failed the WASI, right, got F two times. They came to me, I talked to them about 3 months, they went and got A.
I see. So what is the concept that you have developed that is helping others who had F get A?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Can you tell us what this concept is?
What the concept?
Yes, I hear you have a concept that is enabling others, those who are getting F, to get A.
Yeah, I mean, the concept is like, when you ask many students, let me tell you something like this. You know, I had a camp this August, and I brought students from all over the country, teachers came. Then, I took the teachers aside, and I asked them a very simple question. What is pi? Out of the 30 teachers, about 9 of them told me no idea. Then I asked them, you know, are you the teachers who brought them, that was teachers, or are the mathematics teachers? And they were the mathematics teachers who brought them. And they couldn't explain to me what pi is, but pi has got a concept. So if you don't understand the concept, how can you apply it? You see, so everything has got a concept. When you talk of, you know, call anything, has got a concept. Fraction is a concept. Okay, LCM is a concept. HCF is a concept. You know, if you talk of, if you go to calculus, call all the, they're all concepts.
Yeah, what I mean by concept, your concept is the strategy that you have developed to help students understand mathematics. That's what I was referring to as your concept.
It's a philosophy. The philosophy is that when the student practices, what the students can do is and can practice it and can come to the realization of what it means by him or herself, he retains it. For example, like the students come in, I let them cut, you know, a cone, and they cut a cylinder, okay? And then the cylinder and the cone of the same height and the same base area, and we ask them to find the area, the volume of the cone. When they look at it, they go and fill the cone and find out that 3 times the cone will fill the cylinder. So they can come and say that 1/3 of the volume of the cylinder is equal to the volume of the cone. But it's easier to find the volume of the cylinder. So they are able to easily come up with the formula for the volume of the cone.
Prof, thank you very much. Thank you so much for talking to us tonight, Professor Sachiva, co-president of the Ghana Mathematics Society. Mr. Edu, it looks like the issue of mathematics can only be handled if teachers are able to practicalize, you know, the concept. Are we able to make teachers do that? Do you have in-service training for teachers of mathematics in this country?
Yes, that is very true. But like I said from the beginning, you know that mathematics has a history. Maybe it is the way the Ghanaian children were introduced to mathematics. You see, mathematics is very, very practical because it is a day-to-day activity that we do almost every day in our life. But you see, the problem is that when we are teaching and you don't make reference to the everyday life, then the mathematics become very, very abstract. Because if you are teaching and then you go straight away to be talking about pi, pi is just a principle that somebody has developed. So it is, we have what you call as logic in mathematics. But unfortunately, if we start with the formulas and other things, people do not really understand why certain things are done. So when it comes to the application, that is where the problem is. So the problem we have is the approach to teaching mathematics. We need to make mathematics as lively and as interesting as all the other subjects, because it's something that we see in every day. Now, if you take a topic like measurement, for instance, measurement is just about measuring what we have in our system. But even children may be learning about millimeters, centimeters, and all that, but they may not even be able to measure the size of their table or even the size of their foot. So, which means that we are not making the thing very real for children to understand. So, mathematics for a long time has been taught in very, very abstract attempt. That is why it becomes very difficult for the children to really absorb it.
Okay.
So it is just unfortunate. That is why we have introduced a number of in-service training. But you see, the number of in-service training that we are doing too also depends on the interest of the teachers in the subject. Because teachers will have to develop interest in the subject. Sometimes you go into a class, and a class teacher, the moment you start, the first statement that you make is that you know that mathematics is difficult. So it, some of these statements rather put fear in the children, and some children try to shy away from. And learning is something that should be interested in. So the moment people are just afraid to go into that, that alone can even affect what the teacher may be teaching.
Mr. Edu, we thank you very much for your wonderful contribution tonight. Have a good night, sir. Stephen Edu is the Acting Deputy Director General of the GES. Very soon we'll be talking about the new districts that have been created. I'm sure you live in one of those areas and you should be very happy. But just a few of your text messages before we do that. Nanado should not deceive Ghanaians. He does not have anything better for Ghanaians. Ibrahim Nalerugu says so. All workers in Ghana are equal, whether a teacher or a doctor. Teachers return to the classroom, so must the doctors. From Edujenfi, Eric at Mampong. From Akotu Razak Tamale in Tamale, the appeal by the president to doctors to call off the strike is an example of a good leader. This one from Michael, the government should do something before people start to die in the name of SSSS. From Ilyasu Tamale, Abraham thanks to Nanado for pointing out the incompetence of government in handling the issues of the Ghana Medical Association. Kojo Akins in Cape Coast, Nanado knows how to handle the medical doctors' problems, but does not know that the Constitution would not allow any government to rule for 10 years. This one from Adams Tofik Wazungu, Nanado and the MPP should know that the single spine is not about increasing salaries of workers, but to make it even to all workers work according to their certificates or ranks. Bibi Moses Pusiga Abraham kindly tell Stan that he should deal with the single spine issue rather than diverting our attention to foreign affairs. If the doctor's strike is illegal, then he should arrest them. You're listening to Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. Well, for years, some traditional authorities or rulers have been agitating for their own districts, separated and autonomous of other districts or municipalities. Sometimes large districts that grouped two or more towns and villages tend to fight over common issues like the siting of district capitals. While some of these areas may not experience such differences anymore, government has created 42 new districts, with 5 of them in the Greater Accra region alone. What other reasons necessitated this creation? Let's find out from Local Government and Rural Development Minister Samuel Ofosu-Ampofo. Good evening to you, Mr. Ofosu-Ampofo. Welcome to Behind the News. So, what necessitated the creation of these new districts?
The behind the creation of new discipline. Our concept of power to the people.
Mr. Fuzanpafu, I'm afraid your line is not clear at all. If you could reposition yourself, would
you
help?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, a bit better.
Hello?
Yes, it's a bit better now. Maybe you could raise your voice a bit.
But the rationale behind the creation of the district is to decentralization process and to the people process. That is that once you create a district, you fast track the rate of development in the area, and you also bring governance closer to their doorsteps, because they will then have an assembly, they will then have assembly members, they will have a legislative power to decide on the destiny of the district, and they will all take the destiny of the district into their own hands and help propel its accelerated development.
Before the creation of these ones, I'm sure there were some newer ones or who were also created. Have we been able to solve all their challenges with regard to, you know, office accommodation and all other things before we are creating some others?
Well, to a very large extent, most of the new created districts have some initial challenges, but these challenges are gradually being overcome. And before the creation of this district, we used to have a system where when districts are being created, they are given seed capital and they are given certain essential facilities that will enable them to take off. That was what was done in the early part of the decentralization process when we increased districts from 65 to 110. Districts were given a seed capital by then of 10 million CDs. They were given bungalow for district coordinating director and district chief executive. They were given junior staff quarters. They were given revenue mobilization van and a vehicle for the coordinating director and the chief executive. And so the districts were able to take off very smoothly. However, between 2001 and 2008, the districts that were created were no such specific allocation were made to them. So takeoff became very difficult. But gradually, they have settled on their strides and providing all the necessary essential infrastructure that they need to develop.
And these 42 that you have created,
having learned our lessons,
yes,
we this time round have decided to set aside quite a sizable amount of money that will enable them to be able to put some of these essential facilities in place.
How much is that? Can you tell us the amount?
So far, about 40 million Ghana cedis have been set aside to support the newly created district. We have defended this at the budget hearing, and we believe that the Ministry of Finance has given clear indications that the money will be made available in the budget so as to enable the district to take off. So we believe that with this money, they will be able to provide some of the essential facilities that they need to for a very smooth takeoff.
And this 40 million Ghana cedis is going to be distributed among the 42 districts equally?
Oh, well, it will depend on the location of the district, the size, and several other factors. We'll go into it in determining how much goes to each of the districts.
And that means that some could get less than a million Ghana cedis for start.
Well, we are looking averagely at a million Ghana cedis per district, and that is quite a lot of money.
Did you take into consideration issues about conflict, you know, over district capitals, the site of district capitals and all that?
Well, yes. To a very large extent, we have done broad consultations. And that is why we have the committee was set up over 6 months now. And we had to do a lot of across-the-board consultation in order to even determine the name of the district, the site of the district capital, and so on and so forth. For now, I can say that we are very comfortable with about 40 of the proposed new districts, and they are certain of district capitals are not going to give us any problem at all. We have about 2 flashpoints where the site of the capital has generated some controversies, but as I speak to you now, through the Village Regional Coordinating Council and other stakeholders, they are trying to resolve the issue so that...
Can you tell us these 2 districts? Is it possible to tell us the 2 districts?
Honestly, for very obvious reasons, I wouldn't like to mention any name now.
I see. So, when by the announcement, are they starting Do we now have a decision in place?
Yeah.
Or what is going to happen?
Is that the president has signed an executive instrument of proclamation. And once that is done, that is why we have had the authority to mention the names or announce the names. Now, what is going to be done is that with the support of the Electoral Commission, boundaries are being demarcated, and then communities that falls under the district are all going to be listed. And this one will form the basis of the preparation of a legislative instrument for the creation of the district. These LIs are now being prepared, and when Parliament resumes, it will be laid before Parliament. And after 21 days, if we do not have any problem with it, it will then be matured. And once the LI matures in 21 days, the district will be deemed to have been created, and they will start operation.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being with us tonight on Radio Ghana. I'm sure there'll be more to talk about, you know, concerning these new districts. Thank you so much.
Yeah, but let me announce that the ministry is taking a turn in the media press tomorrow. And we believe that an opportunity will avail itself for us to mention or to announce the remaining districts in the remaining regions. By the time the media press ends, everybody would have known which districts are being created nationwide and where the district capitals will be sited.
And that will be at the Minister of Information?
Yes, that will be the Minister of Information tomorrow.
Thank you very much for talking to us. And the time will be 11 o'clock, I believe.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you. Samuel Fusampofo is the Minister of Local Government and Rural Development. Well, so that's it for tonight's edition of Behind the News, which came to you live from Broadcasting House in Accra. This program is always produced by Kingsley Obinchre, Edmond Tete, Christopher Siedu, Bright Agama, with assistance from Victoria Haji. We'll be here again tomorrow night. Do make a date. Technical production by Samuel Ajay. My name is Abraham Asari. Have a good night.